take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we'll read verses 1 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, you have brought our church through many days and many battles and many difficulties, many heartaches and many burdens. And as our preacher reminded us this morning, not only have you given us hope, but you are our hope. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. And we need you to work in our hearts again tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening's sermon is not a sermon to fix something that's broken. So often I preach what I call preventative sermons. This sermon is to prevent something from becoming broken. So I don't think we have a problem with the issue about which I'm going to preach. The sermon tonight is called, Let There Be No Strife. Let there be no strife. Oh, I wish you could have been at the married couples retreat in the last couple of days. I received many notes and many comments. There was just a unified spirit there. You've seen a group of Christians pulling together to strengthen their marriages, and it was delightful. It was just a delightful atmosphere. The sermon, Let There Be No Strife. You say, preacher, well, why are you preaching it? Because we're getting ready to start the baseball season, and I figure this would be good. I tell people all the time, we have our own baseball league. You don't have to go to the secular league to hear moms yelling at umpires. We've got it right here at church. And we all in a right spirit. And I don't think we have a lot of problem with anything like that. But I want you to listen to me tonight. I'll talk fast. I'm going to say a lot. But I want you to listen to what is being said. In Genesis chapter 13, let me read again a verse to you that we read together earlier. It says, And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. The two leaders got together and said, We've got to make sure there's no strife between us. And if the two leaders, Lot and Abram or Abraham, if we don't have strife, we're setting a good example to our herdsmen. And there's always reason for all the wording in the Bible. No uh-ohs in the Bible. God knows what he's doing. There's reason for what he says. And look at his goal. He said, I want there to be no strife. That's a pretty lofty goal. That ought to be our goal as well, that there be no strife among the brethren. This story is that Lot and Abraham was a very rich man. He had a lot of cattle. He had silver. He had gold. Lot, who is Abraham's nephew, if you will, he also had a lot of flocks, a lot of herds, they had many, many tents. And now you've got Abraham. He's got all sorts of cattle and herds and herdsmen. You've got Lot, and he's got all sorts of cattle, and he has these herds of cattle and the herdsmen. Between the two of them, there was not enough land in the little area where they were growing their herds, and there had arisen some strife between their herdsmen. And I don't know exactly how. I'm sure one guy's cows got into somebody else's cows, and one group of herdsmen went over to get it, and they got caught there, and somebody said, "What are you doing over here in our herds?" They said, "Well, our cow came over," and they said, "Well, you get back over there on your side of the bridge here, buddy. These are our cows, and don't you be coming over here." You all have, you know, any of you have neighbors? You know what I'm talking about. You know, your neighbor's child can throw their ball over on your property and you throw it back at the wife and you know, just all those kinds of things that can happen. I don't know what all was taking place here, but I know that there was strife. And in Genesis 13:7 it says, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle." And listen to this. At the end of the verse it says, "And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land." I want to tell you something. It says here that the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. You know what that means? And again, there's no accident in the Bible. This tells us there was strife between the herdsmen from these two men. And it throws in, it tacks on to the end of the verse, there were two tribes of people watching it happen. You know what that means? God is saying to us, while these two groups of Christians weren't getting along, the lost were watching. The lost happened to be watching this happen. Abraham said this. Abraham said, this strife, it's got to cease. It's got to stop. It says in verse 8, "And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee. For we be brethren," he said, "that this ought not to be happening." And so they resolved the conflict, and I think in a very, very gracious way. Abraham said, "Lot, you take whatever you want, and then I'll take whatever is left because I just want there to be peace." And I like that. I see a Christian maturity there by Abraham. Now see, I agree with the Apostle Paul. We see this topic approached in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 12:20 it says, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates and envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, and swelling tumults." Here, the Apostle Paul said, "I fear when I hear the possibility of strife." And folks, I fear for any ministry anywhere in the world. I fear for their revival if there is strife in the midst of them. I think Jesus was our great example about this thing called strife. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 and 19, it mentions Jesus Christ and it says, "He shall not strive." He didn't want there to be strife. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 says this, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Wow, did you hear some of the things that were listed in that list with strife? Why in the world would God develop a little list and put drunkenness in the same list with strife? There are people in here, you say, "Well, I'm not going to go get drunk." Yeah, but you cause strife. God's got it in the very same listing there in Romans 13:13. I guess we don't see strife as big as a problem as what God would. Where there is strife, there is confusion. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You get strife in a family, you get strife in a ministry, you get strife in a church, suddenly you have confusion. You can have confusion among the people that are mature Christians, but I'll tell you for sure, you're going to have confusion again with the baby Christians. Also, that verse told us this. It tells us that where there is strife, there's something evil going on. James 3:16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Evil is at work where strife is present. And always remember this. Sin is what you and I do that hurts us. Evil is when that which we do begins to hurt others. And we ought not ever want to be a part of evil. We shouldn't ever want to hurt others. Strife is a product of our pride. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." God was giving us there a little recipe to keep strife away. You say, "Well, what is it?" Talks about having lowliness of mind. Talks about esteeming others better than ourselves. If you have lowliness of mind, if you'll esteem yourself lower than others and others higher than you, you're going to cut down on the strife right away. Folks, don't allow strife to frustrate the things that you do. Hey, let's not have strife in our marriages, and let's not have strife with our children, and let's not have strife in the church. Strife is caused because we esteem ourselves, according to that verse. We put ourselves above others. I looked up the word strife. I studied it over and over. I looked up every time it was used in the Bible, matter of fact. I looked up every time, every situation. I wanted to understand that thing because I don't want that. I don't want that in my family. I don't want it in my church. I don't want it in my ministry. No, this is a dangerous thing, this thing called strife. Strife means dissension. Strife needs discord. Strife, the Bible teaches, is someone that is wanting to constantly debate things. Debaters of issues often cause strife. But get this. One of the defining sentences that I read and studied about strife, it's often caused or brought about by people who pride themselves in self-ambition. You say, what is that? Well, if you're a very ambitious person, if you're the kind of person that you can get a lot done, if you're the kind of person that can accomplish a lot, you're going to have to be very careful because you also could be one that produces strife. Actually, it's almost a compliment. Strife, in many cases, is character out of control. I think that the people that can cause a lot of strife sometimes can be very smart people. Sometimes the people that can cause a lot of strife are the ones that could build a business. Sometimes the people that build a lot of strife are the people that have been there and done that. They've seen it. But you have to be careful because strife can so well be produced by those that would pride themselves with their self-ambition. It is virtually at times character that's out of control. Character that leaves the realm of its business. Character that passes judgment in areas that is not that person's area to judge.
Amen.
Strife. Strife. Now, not all the time is that the case. You can have a knucklehead slob that causes strife. But I can promise you some of the big strife created in places has come from people who are, they have a self-ambition and their character gets out of control and they think they ought to just be in charge. They always think they know best, and they always know how it ought to be, and they've always, and I'm just telling you, we sometimes think of strife as being this real low-life person that knows nothing. No, many times strife comes from those that have accomplished, those that have drive, those that have character, and folks, whether you're low in character or high in character, you better be careful not to cause strife.
Yes, sir.
Because God says He lists strife along with drunkenness. A drunk person, they're out of control. Somebody that causes strife, they're emotionally out of control. Now stay with me if you will. Let me say this. First of all, in regard to strife, my recommendation is that we all decide to do the honorable thing. Do the honorable thing. You say the honorable thing? Uh-huh. Proverbs chapter 20 verse number 3 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. You get that? It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. The honorable thing is to look at this thing as strife and not to want to be a part of it. It's honorable for you not to be a creator of strife. It's honorable for your family that you don't create strife. It's honorable for your ministry that you don't create strife. Hey, it's very honorable, but in regard to the lost, because if the Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching, they ought to see you and I doing the honorable thing and not having strife. You see here it says, if you don't try to withdraw and you don't try to keep yourself from participating in the strife, you will continue as a fool. Did you hear it? It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Let's go on with it. Strife is not honorable. Strife is dishonorable. Strife is not a, it's not, when there's strife, it's not a demonstration of something positive. Strife is a demonstration of something negative. You know, there's sometimes I think we ought to cease from strife even if the other person won. Sometimes it's not the fact that who's right and who's wrong. Sometimes it's just the way we behave.
Right.
It's the way we behave. Did you know that it only takes one person to end an argument? It takes a big man to repent from poor behavior and bring strife to an end. And God said, do the honorable thing. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that gossip causes strife. Gossip causes strife. Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. No wood, no fire. No tale bearer, no strife. Usually, if you have a little strife in a ministry, if you will, then you've got a little bit of gossip going on. If you've got big strife, you've got big gossip. And God is saying, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Your gossip is like pouring gas on the devil's fire.
Yes.
So we just need to learn to keep our mouth shut. Just so you know, there's some people, you're a little confused about this issue of gossip and backbiting. There's two parts to it. Mouth and ears. Ears. I know a lady in this church that will listen to anything that anybody will say, and at the end she'll say, well, let's not talk about this. She's only got one half of the issue settled. Don't gossip with your mouth. Don't gossip with your telephone. Don't gossip in your texting. Don't gossip in your blogging. Is that what it's called? Blogging, dogging, hogging, whatever it is. Don't gossip in your twittering, twinkling. Don't gossip on your Facebook or your elbow book. You say, but what I said, it's true. Folks, you heard me say it once. You heard me say it 100 times. Maybe God ought to go around and spread everything that's true about you. He knows everything you think. He knows everything you've done. He knows the intent of your heart. And have you noticed God's not printing a paper telling everybody what's wrong with you? Most gossip is not true. But even if something is true, what makes you think it has to be told? Gossip causes strife. I said this. I said, number one, do the honorable thing. Cause strife to cease. I said, number two, gossip causes strife. Number three, strife is caused by pride. 1 Timothy 6:4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Do the humble thing. Stop the strife. You say, but I'm not wrong. Maybe not in the situation where there is contention. Maybe you're not wrong, but you're wrong in the way you're handling it. You're contentious in your handling of your right. Do you know that somebody else can be wrong and you can be right and there still doesn't have to be strife? Pride brings destruction, the Bible teaches. You know something? You know, what you know most of the time is not more important than people. And how you treat people. You know, relationships are important. People are important to God. Strife comes when people think too highly of themselves. Pride brings strife into marriage. Someone looks at their mate and I'm better than you. You might want to be careful. No wonder you've got strife in your marriage. Pride brings strife between parents and their children, and strife is an outward revelation of an inward sin called pride. You know, the well-advised, the Bible says here, says he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strife with words whereof cometh evil or envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Now listen to me. The well-advised, they learn how to use wisdom in their words. Those of you that do have character and you have ability and you have accomplishment, I'm glad that you do. But if we're as smart as what we would like everybody to think we are, maybe we ought to learn how to handle our strength. The misuse of strength is destructive. There's a lot of strife caused by people that say, well, I know better. Well, if you know so well, why don't you have your spirit under control about it? If you're so smart, why do you see everybody that disagrees with you as an enemy instead of someone that maybe hasn't learned what you have learned? We need to learn to avoid strife because strife is caused by our pride. Number next, strife is caused by hasty people. Hasty people. Proverbs 25:8 says, go not forth hastily to strive. Hear that? Go not forth hastily to strive. If you are one of a quick temper, you're probably a strife producer. If you're quick to speak your mind, you probably produce strife. If you're impatient with people, you create strife. You want justice, you want it now, so fast that those in charge can't be sure it's justice, you'll create strife. You're quick to judge, you create strife. You're quick to convict, you'll create strife. You're quick to sentence someone to death, you're probably producing strife. You're quick to attack, you probably create strife. You're out of control, you're quick to create strife. You're hasty with your opinion, you'll be quick to create strife. You're hasty to think you're right, you'll be quick to create strife. I'm trying to tell you where strife is. According to the Bible, go not forth hastily to strife. You know who you are. You know if you're the impatient one and you've got that quick temper and that quick opinion and you shoot off your mouth, make your move, tell everybody what you think, got to get it out, got to make it happen, and you cause strife. And that's not because I'm your pastor and I know you. That's because this is the Bible and God knows you. Bible's always true. What a book. What a book. Oh, this book is so easy. It is so powerful. Do the honorable thing. Don't have strife. Gossips cause strife. And God said that ought to be brought to an end. Get that wood out of there and we won't have the fire. He said strife is caused by our pride, where we see ourselves too highly and we ought to be esteeming others above ourselves. Strife comes with hasty people. Strife is the work of the flesh, according to the Bible. Strife is the work of the flesh. Number five, it says in Galatians 5:20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. You say, what's it talking about there? It's talking about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about the sins that come when we live in the flesh. Notice the word strife is there. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? What's happening here? Strife is caused when we walk in the flesh. Hey, so all of us, every one of us, our quick temper, that's a lack of Holy Spirit control. Is it not amazing if we're born again, when we lose our temper, say what we should not say, the moment we've done it, we're under conviction and we say, ah, why did I do that again? What is that? That's Holy Spirit conviction. All we have to do is get that conviction to kick in about 5 seconds earlier before you open your mouth instead of after you open your mouth. Right. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll be convicted before you lose it instead of after you lose it.
Yes, sir.
That's the key. That's the key. We've got to walk in the Spirit. Strife is the work of the flesh. Strife is caused by carnal people, fleshly people. The Spirit wants peace among God's people. The flesh wants war. When you deal with differences that you have with people, be sure you're filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you, every one of us, hey, there's time when there'll be difference among God's people. You feel like you need to talk to somebody about the difference. Let me tell you what you need to do before you go talk to anybody. You need to make sure that you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You need to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit. Why? Because that Spirit will suppress your anger and it'll suppress your hatred and it will suppress your revenge. Hey, walking in the Spirit will suppress your pride and your arrogance. And you can go and you can talk to somebody like a Christian with dignity under self-control and not cause strife. So you walk in the Spirit to prepare to go talk to anybody in the church about any difference you might have with them. When you deal with those differences, you must be filled with the Spirit. There are times that I don't deal with certain matters until I know that the Spirit of God has total control over me. Why? You say, why, Brother Owens? God kill somebody. I'm just like you. I've got a flesh I've got to deal with. I've got a temper I've got to deal with. There are times you say, well, why don't you answer me? I'm not ready to answer you. I'm too mad at you.
Good.
When we do talk, I don't want to lose it. Because you deserve better and so does my God.
Good.
The Spirit diffuses bombs. Doesn't set them off. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. What are we talking about? Strife? Strife? Strife is a work of the flesh. Number next, foolish questions produce strife. Foolish questions produce strife. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 24 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Boy, apt to teach and patient. You're not going to war. You're apt to teach and you're patient. Why? You're walking in the Spirit. And here it, though, talks about foolish questions. You know, you're going to create strife. You say, well, I ask a question. I know all sorts of questions that are actually statements with an exclamation mark at the end of the sentence instead of a question mark. I happen to have a sister-in-law that can say to me, well, Jeff, you're not going to do this, are you? Now, there's a question mark right after the exclamation mark on that sentence. Yes, sir. She wasn't asking me. She was telling me she thought I was an idiot while she was asking me to admit to it. Foolish questions. Questions that are loaded. Someone's trying to cause division. Questions to hurt people, not help. Questions that attack in their tenor. The questions that start wars instead of treaties. Questions that are, hey, sometimes questions that are not our business. Questions to reveal the weakness of the strife's, the target of the strife. Questions that do not come from the heart of love. You hear that? Questions that do not come from a heart of love. Questions where you're out to hurt instead of help. Hateful questions. Mean people questions. You know something? I would hate to have a reputation in a local New Testament church that I was mean.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I was mean. Mean people. Foolish questions where they're mean intent. That causes strife.
Right.
Let me go on. Strife is caused by cliques. Cliques. What do you mean by cliques? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 tells us about it. It says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, ye are carnal. Notice, strife comes where there are people that are dividing themselves into little pockets. Cliques are carnal. The word carnal, that's where we get our word carnivore. It's where you get the word meat. A meat eater, you're a carnivore. It's talking about we are lowering ourselves to our very basic instincts like a bunch of animals. That's what it means to be carnal. You're back to living in the flesh.
Right.
Folks, in the New Testament church, you're a family.
Amen.
And I'd like to say you all ought to treat each other out there in the pew like you treat your family, but you can't say that anymore. Because the way people treat their families at home. But there is a right way that Christians are to act toward one another. Cliques. A church could have a clique. Very easily. We could have in a church like ours. I don't think that we do. And if we do, it ought not be there. You could have a clique between what we call the old crowd and the new crowd. You have the crowd that have been here for years and the crowd that's come along in the last 9 or 10 years. You get a clique like that, you'll have division and strife in a church. Oh, hey, you get clicks about this conference or that conference. I'll be very honest, folks. I'm behind our conference. About this college or that college. I just want to get behind our college. About this Sunday school class or that Sunday school class. All the Sunday school classes are good Sunday school classes. They're not all about you and your group. It's all about Jesus and the Bible and keeping people out of hell and teaching the truth. Put your petty differences aside and love each other. And honestly, I don't have a problem. You say, why are you screaming? Because humidity is so high, about half of you are in a trance right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to wake you up. My group is better than your group. Hey, that's not so. Bus ministry is no better than the youth ministry, which is no better than the senior citizen ministry. Oh, no. And don't get that clique mentality. Don't get that. Look, we want all the Sunday school classes to achieve and accomplish and succeed. Hey, one bus route's not better than another bus route. It's not your route anyway. It's Jesus's route. I'll tell you one thing I do know, and thank God for it, Brother Smith. Dr. Don Smith and Dr. Jeff Owens get along fantastic, and there's no clique mentality with us. We are friends. He is Pastor Emeritus. I am Pastor. We get along fine. We've enjoyed this thing, and we've proven to the nation it can be done, and we don't want, there's no division between us. And Abraham said, he said, me and Lot, that's the people at the top. They got to get along so the people at the bottom understand how it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
Oh, watch out for even financial cliques. I'm not poor trash like the rest of you. You know, there's no price tag on a soul other than Jesus gave everything. Souls have no color. They have no financial status. And if you got a little bit of money and you think you're hot stuff, you're hot snot, that's all you are, buddy. You say, you ought not talk that way. When you pastor church, you can talk the way you want. There's some of you, you know what? You don't have any money and you're a little bit poor and you think there's something wrong with somebody that's got a little money. Hey, it doesn't make you bad if you worked hard and got a little money. You have no right to look down your snout at somebody because they have some and you don't. Hey, look, we're all going to the same place and it was paid for by somebody else. Not a penny that you have paid your way into heaven, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have. You don't have any right to be clicky about your money. Your money. You see, cliques cause strife. Not only that, we've got to be careful that we do not become what the Bible calls strife kindlers. Strife kindlers. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Kindle. You ever started a fire? You use something called kindling. Small pieces of wood that catch fire easily. You throw, some of you, you're strife kindlers. You throw your little bits in, and hey, you may never be the person on the forefront that's right out front. You're not the point man on the strife. You just know how to kindle it. You know, to throw a little in and escape. Say, why would anybody want to escape? Because they know there's a fireman around here. Your little digs. Your little criticisms. Strife is often created by kindlers rather than an arsonist who is starting the big fire. Secret strife creators. I wonder what would happen if I had access to every text message sent by this congregation. I wonder if it all could come to me and I could go through it and see what you've been doing. I wonder if I could see everything you've written on Facebook or you've Twittered or whatever all that stuff's called. I wonder if it all could come to me and I could take a look at it. You say, oh, Brother Owens, I never want that to happen. I got news for you. There's one bigger than I that knows everything that you've said. And it is He that holds the air in His possession that you breathe and the food that you eat and your eternal soul. I'd be careful what you say and what you do if you're a kindler of strife. Strife is often created by those kindlers, secret strife creators, strife encouragers. People, hey, some of you that are simple-minded, you got to be careful. You know, there are people that are evil enough to take a simple-minded person, pump them full of a little trash, the evil person retracts and let the simple person go get in trouble with it. It happens. I think the Bible teaches us this, we ought to steer clear of strife. Just get away from it. Proverbs 26:17 says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ear. Now, if I were you, you go onto somebody's farm and they got a great big old Doberman pincher. I wouldn't run up there and grab him by the ear. Say, why? You might get bit. You better be careful meddling in everybody else's problems. You're going to get bit. Let's not be a part of strife. Don't let others pull you into strife. I don't know what you all do, but I know what I do. I travel the country, and a whole bunch of you think you know everything that's happening around the country, and you got a grip on it. Most of you don't have any idea what goes on around the country in fundamentalism. Let me tell you something about your pastor. I don't go anywhere getting into strife with other pastors. I travel this country, I keep my mouth shut, I talk about Jesus, I preach the Word of God, I promote that which is right, and I'm not going to let you pull me into that trash, just so you know. I don't want to be a part of it. I want to live right, I want to do right, I want to sleep at night. It's bad enough getting attacked by the devil. God knows we don't need to be attacking each other. Strife, strife, strife. I love it. I think Abraham and Lot took a look. The underlings were not getting along, and Abraham said to Lot, and Lot said to Abraham, you know something, we need to get along here. If we get along here, let's not have any strife. I don't know if they went out and had a cup of coffee, talked about it, and they come to an agreement and said, we got a work to do. And folks, We've got a work to do. We've got a work to do. Let there be no strife. Husbands and wives, let there be no strife. Let there be no strife. Church is no stronger than its family is going to be. You husbands and wives, you owe it to your church. Get the strife out of your marriage. Get that thing fixed up. Don't be fussing, you young people, fussing with mom and dad. Get that strife out of your life. There's a work to do for God. God needs to do something. Let there be no strife. So, just immediately, before we kick off the baseball season, I thought it might be good that we touched, for the sake of the umpires and the coaches, I thought we'd touch on this thing of strife. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. Why don't you get born again? You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here, you've been saved and you never made it public. If you're here and you've been saved but never been baptized, why don't you come? Maybe you're backslidden. Hey, maybe you're struggling with some strife right now. Maybe in your marriage, maybe with mom and dad, maybe in your family. Hey, if that's you, maybe you need this altar. I do not know right now. I don't know of one situation in our church where there are people fussing and fighting. And I hope it doesn't exist out there. Now, a church as large as ours, there's probably somebody not getting along with somebody. But right now, I don't know about it. But it ought not to be there. It's wrong whether the pastor knows about it or not. You might need to leave your seat, come down here, get on your face, and get right with God. Then you might need to get right with somebody. Strife. 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 Oh, how dangerous. May I again remind you, those of you that are hard workers, you're capable, you're smart, you've been there, you've done that, you might want to be careful, because I believe strife can be the misuse of one's ability and character. It's not always just how much you know, it's how well can you handle what you know. If we're so capable, won't you become capable with people and their emotions and their feelings and your relationships? Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has spoken my heart about something here in this sermon. God spoken to me." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I needed something here." God bless you. You may put your hand down. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Don't be afraid to leave that balcony. Go down those stairs. Come back in the auditorium and get on your face. Some of you children, there's strife in your home between you and your brother, you and your sister. That ought not be so. Hey, teenager, is there strife between you and mom or you and dad? Hey, husband, hey, wife, is there strife? Is there strife in the family? Is there strife around you routinely? Is there strife? Hey, there shouldn't be strife between two of our church bus routes. And I don't know that there is. I don't think that there is, but it ought not to be so. Why? You say, well, because the Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching. They're watching how we behave. Strife caused by pride. Strife. Do the honorable thing. Let strife cease. Strife caused by gossip. Strife caused by hasty people. Strife, a work of the flesh. Strife caused by foolish questions. Just the way questions are handled. Strife caused by little cliques of people where we divide ourselves, create divisions, and form our own little team. Strife can be kindled. We ought to steer clear of strife. Saved, you come, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. musician. Thank you, choir. Have a seat.